Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I am wearing my Curio Wellness orange Oriole gear here on Friday. We will be wearing such gear at Costas Inn. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll have the Magic 8-Ball Scratch-Offs to give away. And then next week, we're going to roll it into the Beaumont and Catonsville on Wednesday. Then on a Thursday of the following week, we're going to be out in Timonium for Cooper's North with our friends Patrick Russell and Terry Beck and Nick Schultz, amongst others. And then finally, the 30th will be at Coco's Pub in Lauraville. I got some cool confirmations on guests. This guy is going to be joining me at Fadley's at some point. I hope the Orioles win between now and then. Dude, feels like we get together, like, I don't know, every 6 to 8 or 12 hours and talk about how things have gotten worse for the Orioles, and they're coming home to a rainstorm on Friday. And really in trouble in some way, really, really scuffling right now at under 500 and wondering when they're going to hit the ball better. And you and I have gone through the pitching, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be totally honest with you, Nestor. I'm kind of tired of talking about the pitching. And look, Dean Kramer, it is what it is. He gave up 6 runs. You know, he was chased in the fifth inning, was working on a decent outing into the fifth inning, but they didn't score a run on Thursday. You can't win any game scoring 0 runs. There's no such thing as a 0 run win. So, look, the pitching is what it is. And if you had told me 2 weeks ago that the Orioles' rotation would be scuffling, especially if you told me now Zach Eflin's on the IL, and you know Kyle Gibson is starting to ramp up and pitching at Norfolk and all that. You know,
Well, the
Grayson
fact that
Rodriguez.
he's here, the fact that we're talking about Kyle Gibson means that things have really not gone well since February. You know what I mean?
Oh,
This
sure.
is not part of the plan,
But
right?
oh, it's not,
But
but
you're waiting on something that they don't even want here or didn't want here.
sure, but I'm even talking 2 weeks ago. I mean, let's face it, this club on opening day 2 weeks ago in Toronto, where they scored 12 runs, they hit 6 home runs. They've hit 6 home runs in 12 games since then. They've hit 2 home runs in their last 10 games. And I get it. Kansas City was miserable. The weather was miserable. I understand you're not going to most likely hit a bunch of home runs when it's 40 degrees and windy in Kansas City. So those 3 games, but Arizona, I mean, that's the roof was open, but that's a climate controlled facility there. So you know it's opportune conditions. But you know, this is a team that since opening day, they've averaged barely over 3.5 runs per game. They're not constructed to win games like that. You know, okay, if you had one of the best pitching staffs in the league and a healthy starting rotation, and maybe even if it's not a pure, true number one, but at least you had legit number two and number three pitchers, at least in the top half of your rotation, then okay, I can see winning some of those games. But you know, they've had some games this year, and of course Wednesday, you know, they lose 9-0. So I'm not sitting here giving the pitching a pass, but we talked all offseason, we talked all spring, we talked going into the season that, yeah, especially with Grayson Rodriguez being out of the picture for at least the first month, month and a half, whatever it ends up being, that was going to be touch and go and questionable. The bullpen's been mostly fine, other than C&L Perez, so can't really have any complaints there. But they've got to hit the ball. I mean, this team, from the moment Mike Elias arrived and they drafted Adley Rutschman 1-1 back in 2019, they're modeling, you know, what they've done from a draft and development standpoint has skewed much more on the position player side. And this offense isn't doing the job nearly consistently enough. I mean, it's been playing bad at times. Certainly at best, it's been inconsistent. That's kind of the kindest way to put it. So I get it. And yeah, if they scored 6 runs on Wednesday, they lose 9-6, right? I mean, I understand. I'm not saying the pitching isn't a problem, but boy, if your strength isn't a strength, if your perceived biggest strength isn't going to be a strength, then there is no hope, right? And yeah, and of course, it's early, right? Both things can be true. It's early, and there's so much time to get yourself situated. They're starting a long homestand. They've only played one series at home. So I'll hear all that. But on the flip side, it's tough to ignore these signs. And I mean, their offense is healthy, other than Colton Cowser. And don't get me wrong, that hurts. It hurts their outfield defense. It hurts their upside. I mean, you're talking about someone who's second in rookie of the year voting. But the rest of their position group is intact. It's in place, and they've got to start performing because, as much as you say it's early, what really are you pointing to right now that tells you that the starting pitching is going to get much better in the near future? I mean, okay, the hope is Zach Eflin's not going to be out too long here, but what about everyone else? Kyle Gibson, what exactly are you expecting Kyle Gibson to give you? I think he can raise your floor, but he's not an ace. He's not a number two. He's not a number three. Grayson Rodriguez, once we see him start going out to an affiliate, fine. But any of the other meaningful options in terms of upside, I mean, Kyle Bradish is still pie in the sky, hoping for something in August, right? I mean, you can't count on that. So they've got to hit. I mean,
Well, that's
this
the
is a
one thing. I
non-starter.
mean, you and I talk about this. Name me a team that had poor pitching that really could win. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of anyone. Like we talk about in football, if you have a bad defense, it's hard to win a Super Bowl with a bad defense. And Peyton Manning had those years where he was something, and the D and they just couldn't hold their own water. And imbalanced teams in other sports in lots of different ways for teams that don't have five tools, right? But the pitching part of baseball, if Earl Weaver were here, right? Or, Casey Stengel would come back and talk about the history of baseball. I mean, I think it's foolhardy to think you can slug your way to it, right? And maybe into the playoffs or wherever they are, but I think you're asking a lot of the off. I mean, I'm not making
Lester,
excuses for them.
the offense
Zero,
has been
zero.
bad. The offense has been bad. I'm not talking like I
I'm
hear you.
totally in agreement
I
with you.
agree. The starting pitching's a disaster right now, but are we really surprised when we look at it? I am surprised to see an offense that has all these first round picks and all stars and guys that are supposed to be leading the way, and they're getting shut out. I mean, that's my thing. My frustration is way more with the offense at this point. Look, if they lose 9-6 on Wednesday, then yeah, the pitching's a story. They got shut out. It was 2-0 going into the bottom of the fifth inning. I mean,
They got
we're
two runs
wasting.
on Tuesday night and couldn't piss a drop after that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
The wacky seventh
and that's
inning
my
they
thing.
had and all that. I mean, they had a 2-0 lead, and I look up and the bases are loaded, nobody's out, and he's got a 3-0 count. I mean, like, well, I mean, the pitching's that bad. So that's why the lead story for me is that, because to me, and I don't want to play it backwards with you. Certainly, you're more fired up than I am at this point. And you're going to sit in a rainstorm on Friday night, and I'm not. But to my point, you could have scored six runs and still lost pretty badly, because it's that hard to win when your pitching's not good. And I'm not saying it's morale or this or that, or you fall behind and C&L Perez is out there trying to figure it out late in the game, but there is a point where this is going to be hard to do. That's all I'm saying. I'm not
Well,
saying
I'd
in the
like to
near
see them
short
actually
term.
try to do it
I got
first.
you. I got you.
I
Go
mean,
for
that's
it.
where, yeah. I mean, look, this is not me saying the pitching is acceptable. It's not. But what is more intact right now, the pitching or the offense? I mean, they're not running the bases well either. I mean, they had the first and second, and there's a pitch in the dirt, and the guy on the back end of that gets thrown out at second base. And, Tyler O'Neill the other night, even though the umpire never made a call, he gets doubled off of second base, with a chance to tie the ball
Speaking of
game.
doubled off, they hit in a couple double plays too, as
Well,
I
I mean, they
said.
continue to do that. I mean, which is wild because they actually set a record last year for fewest ground balls in the double plays. So it's kind of crazy that they're and I know Kevin Brown even pointed it out on the broadcast. Still on the broadcasts have been good. I'll say that. And I know
I agree with
you've
you.
expressed a lot with Ben about Ben McDonald, the humor, but also the good insight. But
I'm
they,
wondering if Greg Bader's watching, like. They've been tough.
well, I, well, but this is my point. I mean, again, I'm not sitting here saying that anyone should be happy with the fact that Dean Kramer has an ERA of over 8 right now. Of course, that's unacceptable. But it didn't even matter on Wednesday. It was 2-0 until the bottom of the fifth inning. And then, of course, the blow up, and then the game becomes a blowout. But no, I mean, score some runs. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right? If your biggest strength's not going to be a strength, then Yeah, of course you're not going to win when your
Can
weakness
I
is
ask a
very
question?
much the
Would
weakness.
they fire Brandon Hyde at any point? Would they? I mean, I don't know, but Rubenstein, I mean, I don't think he has anything to do with it. I don't think
Yeah.
that he would be a part of. I mean, he's got a bobblehead next Saturday night. I've got a big fat steamer for Katie Griggs about why you have a press credential and I don't. Peter Angelos is dead. But this is, I almost don't even want to be mean, you know, over the weekend. And I have occasion to be, but I'm like, what happened? Crappy teams fire managers when they get off to bad starts, right? Like that happens. I don't
Yeah.
think that should or whatever, but I'm like, I'm about to ask you, what are you most worried about? Here's what I'm worried about. Their pitching stinks, and their pitching's gonna stink, and their pitching's never gonna get healed. So the only thing that's gonna heal them is scoring six, seven, eight, nine runs a game, and
And they're
you have
not
some
coming close to
demand
doing
of
that.
that. You have some expectation that they're capable of that. And I'm saying, I mean, I think they're capable of hitting the ball, but they're also capable of swinging through, struggling against lefties, not drawing a lot of walks, hitting into double play. You know, they have all of those diseases. It's like thinking about the Ravens last year and what their real problem was, penalties. You know, really, like, you break the rules, you find yourself in bad and down in distance. And the same thing is pressing, swinging at bad pitches, getting into bad counts, just all of that. I don't know what I'm most concerned about, other than neophyte ownership, and they don't know what the hell they're doing, and the stands are empty, and the weather's not great, and the pitching's never coming around, and they're giving something away every night. But I would say the thing I'm most concerned about is the sanctity of the whole operation, and it kind of coming off the card a little bit because the pitching's not going to save them much, and if Corbin Burns came in tomorrow or Eflin's okay, they're going to get saved every fifth day, seventh day, 10th day, where they're not going to get quality starts. They're just not. I mean, nobody in the staff is built for six innings and three runs. Nobody. And nobody left anyway now that Eflin's out. And I'm just, you know, 5-8 leads to what? 11-15, which leads to 19-22, 19, you know, I don't know. I mean, at what point do you think they can put together and stack victories with no pitching and hitting that is for now suspect? I'm just gonna say, you know, no Santander here. They have split problems. They have defensive problems with Mateo in center field without Colton Cowser, right? I mean, they got a lot of problems, dude. I mean, and I'm glad you're the pissed off one here. Maybe I'll get my press pass, but you're angrier than I am at this point. I'm not that shocked with all the arms. Did you see that list of pitchers they put up in the seventh inning there?
Sure.
I mean, it's a
I
dozen
wrote it at
pitchers. I
baltimorepositive.com.
mean,
Yeah, I mean,
it's just sort of like when you see it in a graphic, I'm like, they're not supposed to be any good, but I hope they don't do anything stupid like fire the manager. I mean, I'm not that I'm standing up for him, but I'm just thinking, you know, light a fire under. I don't know what that would mean. Light a fire is get better pitching. You know.
well, but again, I keep coming back to, you know, we could talk about the Ravens issues. Lamar Jackson's an MVP at quarterback. And if suddenly Lamar Jackson's not playing well whatsoever, what else really matters? You know what I mean? And that's what I keep coming back to. I expect the pitching to struggle. I expect that to be at best that you're kind of barely getting by. You know, that's the expectation. So even with games where they've gotten four runs allowed, right? They've lost some of those games because they haven't hit. I mean, again, since opening day when they put a 12 spot on the board and hit six home runs, and Tyler O'Neill's doing everything he's doing, and Adley Rutschman two bombs, and Mullins two bombs. Yeah, they've scored 3.5 runs a game since then. And that's even with including a couple of those games they did score 8 or 9. I mean, they've now been shut out twice, they've been held to one run twice, and they've been held to two runs twice. I mean, that's nearly half their games they've scored two or fewer. I mean,
They're hitting the
even if,
ball like the Mariners.
I mean, they're hitting like they're pitching. I mean, maybe not that, not as bad as a starting pitching. But again, when you kind of look at it and you're neither one is stacking up well at all. And then This
is
talk about
why
the
I'm worried
defense.
about it because, like, everybody
Well,
hears bubblegum and sugar plums, and like the thing's been good for 2 years, right?
yeah.
Like, I don't know how David Rubenstein's going to react to not good. I don't know how.
Right.
I know how the fans are going to react to not good. They're not going to go. They're
Yeah.
not going to go. That the and they're going to tune out. And you and I are going to be talking to nobody come July if somehow they're 10 games under 500 and they can't figure this out because, like, it's trending that way, and it's trending that way because I don't believe in the pitching. I mean, I believe the hitting will be fine against crappy pitching, and they'll score 12 runs twice a week. I mean, oh, fine. I mean, I'll buy
Yeah.
into all of that. I don't think anything that looks like that means they're going to win 6 out of 8 and 10 out of 13 and 17 out of 21 and all the stuff that they did here 2 years ago and last year to really stack not just victories, quality starts, good defense, good bullpen, you know, winning games with bats late because the thing stayed close enough to make it exciting, getting people recruiting the community to some degree, because I am worried about all of that. Because I did, as much as Katie Griggs is arrogant enough to not take my phone call and not meet with me, they've got a real depth problem here if they're not going to win. We've
Yeah.
just been assuming they're going to win since they started to win 2 years ago. Fine assumption, but then you got to go do it. And you ain't doing it with Kyle Gibson and Dean Kramer and Charlie Morton. And I just it this isn't going to ring the bell. The pitching's not going to ring the bell. I do think the hitting will wake up, and I'm with you. They've scored one run in the last 17 innings, right?
Yeah, and look, the starting pitching has to be better. I don't think Dean Kramer's actually going to have an 8 ERA.
Well,
I mean,
dude, there's no
there's,
plan B.
well, but my point is, there's no reason to think that it's going to continue to be that bad, right? I mean, Dean Kramer's now Charlie Morton,
Maybe.
he's 41, so maybe, although you look at his peripherals compared to some of the other guys, and that's why I said to you that Boston start, I actually had a little more optimism trying to take a deeper dive and saying, okay, missed bats and had strikeouts and all that. But at some point in time, you need to start performing, and they're not getting that. I mean, Sagano, I'm very much looking forward to seeing him pitch this weekend and seeing what that looks like. His second start showed some promise, right? He wasn't bad in his first start. He just had the dehydration issue with the cramping. So assuming that's, you've got your head around that as far as what he needs to do, that's looked promising. But man, I mean, you just look at the rest of this right now, and to the point that we made. I mean, who's coming to rescue them right now? I mean, okay, Kyle Gibson. I certainly hope he's going to be better than what they've seen. I think again, we're not talking about guys that have career 7 ERAs, right? So it's going to get better on that front, but how much better? And how deep can they go into games? As I've said, their bullpen to me has been. It's been fine. Perez has
The
really
bullpen's almost
struggled.
been the shining
Yeah,
star.
the bullpen.
Like, if we're going to talk about anything that's gone
It's been
well this
good.
year,
Yeah.
Cedric Mullins, maybe O'Hearn, the bullpen, the fact that Jackson Holliday probably can do this, you know, doesn't look like he shaves yet, though. It's really wild. But, yeah, I mean, the bullpen and Cedric Mullins. Do you have any other bright lights?
I
I mean,
mean,
literally.
and this is where you still try to remind yourself it's 13 games. It's early. It's not like they have a plethora of guys in their lineup that are hitting 100 right now. You know what I mean? Like Kerstad hasn't hit the ball. He hasn't hit for any power. That's he needs to start driving the ball. But again, what are you bringing up Dylan Carlson or are you going to play Ramon Laureano more? I mean, the Couser's out for 6 to 8 weeks. I mean,
Austin
it is
Hayes
what
and
it is.
Santander aren't here
They're not
anymore,
walking
right?
through that door.
Yeah.
Kyle Stowers isn't walking through that door. I mean, it just, kind of it's where they are right now. But they just it's just so disjointed. It's disjointed from the standpoint of when they have a good game, it's a really good game. But when they scuffle, man, they really scuffle, right? So some of that, and this is where I'm pumping the brakes even on my own frustration that I've aired here. And a lot of it's just we can keep banging on the pitching. Like, what are the expectations when you have 8 guys on the IL right now?
This audience is here for pissed off Luke and voice of
Yeah,
reason Nestor is what they're here
but again, my point with that is if your biggest strength or what's supposed to be your biggest strength isn't going to be a strength, then what the heck else even matters? You know what I mean? Like, so that's where my angst and where, my frustration is coming from in watching this club right now. All that being said, 13 games in, as I said to you earlier in the week, when even the best teams in baseball are going to have a stretch of losing 6 of 10, I'm guessing even the best teams in baseball at some point in time will have something that looks very similar to losing 8 of 13. It's very much magnified at the beginning of the year. I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, they're this close, because it's not as though they're losing a ton of one-run games here. They've had some games where, not maybe not 9-0, but they've lost by 4 or 5 runs, where it's been like that, where they haven't pitched or hit particularly well. But it's 13 games. You're coming home, you're starting a long home stand. Hopefully the weather warms up a little bit, right? I mean, we're all hoping that, just for the sake of, we're all ready for spring and not having to put our heat back on as we have this week. But at the same time, it is tough kind of looking at this. And this is where I'll address what you mentioned about Brandon Hyde, where, look, certainly you're not making a managerial change 13 games in or 20 games in. I mean, we can all think back to the Orioles firing Cal Senior after what, 6 games in 1988. I mean, it's the most absurdly idiotic thing I've ever heard, of firing a manager 6 games into a season. I mean, why didn't you just fire him over the winter if that's how you really felt about him, right? I mean, we can all agree with something like that. At the same time, and I've seen a lot of fans express this, and it's difficult to disagree. It's the cumulative impact here. It's the fact that this team really has not played particularly good baseball since late June of last season. And, it's one thing to talk about the pitching and talking about their injuries. And like I said, what are you really expecting out of the starting rotation right now? Of course, Kramer needs to be better, but in terms of what the ceiling is, even if those guys are the reasonably best version of themselves at this point in their respective careers, that's still at
Still
best
got to
kind of,
score 6 runs to win.
at best, still kind of league average, and or a little worse than that. So, but you just look at everything else with the offense, and knowing how great the offense was through the first 3 months last year, and how middling it was after that. The defense, we've talked about that. Not that it's been horrible, but it hasn't been memorable in a positive way that you need it to be when you have a starting rotation that's in the state that it's in right now. And we've talked about their base running. So when I see those things, when I see sloppiness, when I see very up and down kind of play, where, again, you're going to go through slow periods of time, you're going to go through periods of time where you're not going to be firing on all cylinders. But when you've seen that play out as long as it has, going back to the second half of last year, how can you not look at the manager and the coaching staff and ask questions? I mean, they fired, both their hitting coaches were, gone at the end of last season. So I'm not going to sit here and say that if the Orioles go 70 and 90, 72 and 90, I'm not going to sit here and say Brandon Hyde's ironclad safe, no questions asked. No, I mean, who should be at that point in time, right? I mean, you don't live off of what you did 2 years ago forever, especially when you didn't win a playoff game, and it's not like you made it to
Well,
the World
that's the
Series.
hardest part here, right?
So
I mean, the hardest part is trying to judge Elias and Hyde against the history of Oriole baseball, which has been
sure,
very bad in your lifetime,
it's been horrible.
to say that this team's capable and the fan base is ready to be energized and give them money and go back down there and buy into all these young players. I don't think they can. I don't think it's not that they can't withstand a turd. It just would be a very, very
Hurt.
bad time for them to have a season that never gets on track. And that's what I'm concerned about
Yeah.
here, is they're falling down the mountain in a way that they have what every, I wish I could curse, ishy team I've ever seen has. Bad pitching. They have bad pitching and hitting that has potential, and some nights it'll be feet, but they're not going to just hit the ball every night. They're not that kind of team. They don't draw walks. They don't move around the bases that way. It's not like they're the 82 Cardinals. They're going to hit a bunch of home runs, and then they're going to run into a left-hander, and they're going to get 5 hits and strike out 14 times and hit the 3 double plays and maybe even kick the ball around a little bit because they don't even profile that well. So I'm trying to figure out fundamentally, other than having muscular young men with high ceilings and number ones, because the organization stunk so badly that they could get players of this quality. And then the injuries, man, the injuries and the injuries and more injuries. I
And
think when the book is written on whatever this season is, even if they, resurrect themselves to some degree and win 93 games, you know what I mean? Which with this pitching, I don't know how that's happening. I mean, I couldn't sell that.
starting
I
to feel
can't
that
carry the
way, yeah.
water for that. I
Starting to feel
can't.
that way,
I
sure.
can't carry the water for that right now, because the pitching's just not. I mean,
Well,
will they hit well enough to be 500 and have some weeks where they win 7 out of 10 games? Because, yeah, but I don't. I'm worried. I'm worried that they're not gonna have that. This falling down the mountain and there's no help coming, and their number one starter got hurt, and their outfielder's hurt. I mean, I don't know. What are they gonna be at the All-Star break? Are they gonna be a 500 team at the All-Star break? I mean, we project them out at 10, 12, 14 games over five. That's where you want to see them at the All-Star break. I don't think they're capable of being that right now.
Well,
I don't.
and this is where a couple things. One, there's no one in the division that's off to a great start. I think we all, maybe there was a perception with the Yankees at the start of spring training with, okay, yeah, Juan Soto went out the door, but you know, they had Gerrit Cole, they signed Fried, you know, they were in a position where their rotation looked the way it did. And then what happened? Cole has Tommy John surgery. Luis Gil's out till July, the way it sounds. And that's, you know, it's another one of those lat strains, right? Only the Yankees flat out said he had a high grade lat strain, and that's why he's out as long as he is. So, but you look at the rest of the division, and everyone's within a couple games of 500, what good or bad, you know, above or below. So it's not as though anyone's off to a 12-1 start. You know, even the Yankees, who hit 50 home runs against the Brewers that opening series, their bats have cooled down some since then. So you do look at that. You know, frankly, and this kind of goes against what you just said, but I kind of think you have to be realistic about it. I mean, to me right now, I mean, the goal for them is to try to tread water as much as you can, you know, at least until you get to the point where Gibson's part of this rotation, you get Eflin back, you hope that Eflin truly, you know, if he misses 3 weeks, it's 3 weeks. It's not 3 months, right? It's not the end of the world. But, you know, if you can hang around 500, knowing there's three wild cards in the league, right? Knowing that the American League, but as a whole, is not. It's difficult to identify a juggernaut. I mean, even the Rangers, who are off to a pretty good start, you know, 9-4 through the first 13 games, go look at their run differential. It's not screaming that they're, you know, blowing teams out every single night and doing that. So,
Well, all along they were gonna have to trade to get better pitching.
yeah, well,
We've known that for weeks.
but even if that's going to come into play, you've got to keep yourself afloat. This is not going to be a case where Michael Elias is just, you know, just snaps his fingers and is going to be able to trade for two top half of the rotation starters in the next 10 days. I mean, generally it doesn't work that way because you have three wild cards and because you have every team in the American League, probably other than the White Sox, can talk themselves into hanging around and seeing what happens at least until June, let's say, at least till Memorial Day, let's say. So this is where they've got to find a way. They've got to tread water at the very least. You know, can you hover somewhere around 500? And if you can't do that, then yeah, it will be over and we'll be counting down the training camp.
Well, that's why Wednesday was so disappointing, because they had a chance to steal a series, right? And they got Kramer going to the hill, and once it got to be 5-0, and
Well,
you're just
and it was
sort of like,
disappointing. And it was disappointing even from the standpoint of it was 2-0 going to the last of the fifth inning. I mean, you're having an okay start. I mean, he was having an okay outing, and then it just completely fell apart, right? Third time through the order, you know, gives up the second long ball, and you just say, okay, well, this is, you know, kind of a, I don't want to say patented Dean Kramer meltdown, because those have dissipated some over the last couple of years compared to where he was, say, 3 or 4 years ago. But, you know, you give up the home run to Smith, and then you give up the home run to Naylor, and it's like, okay, well, now it's 5-0, and this game's about shot because you're not swinging the bats at all. So yeah, it's disappointing. And look, they've got to start making some hay here in terms of, you know, How about winning two games in a row? How about winning a series? As I said, they're
That will
coming
be
home.
called a winning streak,
Yeah,
Luke.
exactly. I saw people. I even saw that on my timeline earlier in the day on Wednesday. So again, it's 13 games, and you know me. I don't know if I take pride in being the voice of reason. You know, people say that
Well, I take
sometimes,
pride in you being the voice of reason.
but at the same time, that's where I keep looking at this thing. And you know, we can keep banging on the starting pitching till we're blue in the face, but I mean, look at the state of it. In contrast to their lineup is mostly intact. I get it. It stinks that you lost Colton Cowser. It totally stinks, but it doesn't mean everyone else just, you know, curls up and just lays down. I mean, you know, you've got to compete and you've got to score runs, right? And these guys, okay, Jackson Holliday being an exception here, you know, because he played a couple months in the big leagues last year, but you know, Adley Rutschman's been in the majors 3 years now. Gunnar Henderson's been in the majors a couple years now. They've got guys that, okay, I get it, they're young, but one point that I said to you a lot, you know, as they were going through what they went through in the second half of last year, one of my biggest hopes was they need to grow from this. They need to get better from this. This needs to. You know, this is the, you know, the proverbial iron sharpens iron, right? You go through tough times and, you know, you callous yourself, you hope. You know, you hope that it's going to make you better in the long run. And again, it's 13 games, right? I'm not going to sit here and say the season's over, but at the same time, there's a lot of concerning signs here. And how much of the starting pitching, you asked me, you asked, you posed the question a few minutes ago, you know, how many teams can win with starting pitching like this? I mean, I'll give you a perfect example of a team that got to the ALCS last year. Cleveland, go look at their starter ERA. It was not good, but they had a kind of borderline legendary bullpen. Is the Orioles bullpen going to be that good? Can it be that good when you have starters who aren't getting through 5 innings, let alone six, you know, with so infrequently? I mean, it's, you know, that's tough. So, you know, again, it's
Bring on the
early.
rain. They need a couple days of rain.
Yeah, and well, and it's at, you know, based on the forecast as you and I are talking in real time, you know, Friday seems they might have a good chance at that,
Well, Friday's Francis and Shigano, and that might get pushed, and then Lucas and Povich scheduled to go on Saturday. And
well, and then TBD on Sunday. TBD's got a better ERA than anyone else in their rotation right now. So there you go.
TBD's got to be better than Charlie Morton at this point. He is
So
Luke Jones. We're trying to figure this out. We're going to keep an eye on the Ravens as well. And I even did some college basketball this week with Len Elmore around here. I got the draft, and Mike Tenier came on earlier this week. So, and Mark Messina came by for a great hour-long visit about pitching and baseball and his brother and just stuff in the game. You got anything for the weekend? I know you're going down. We're going to be at Costas on Friday, and this is a little bit of a thud. I mean,
yeah.
I'm buying into what they're selling, and what they're selling right now, I don't like the potentiality of it right this minute. I
I
don't.
mean, all they're selling right now is it's early. I mean, like truthful, and I don't say that to be flippant, and it is early. I mean, it absolutely is early. They're a 6-game winning streak away from everyone feeling a lot better. Yes, even with the rotation being in the state
Dude, it
that it's
sure
in right
looked
now.
heavy in that
But
clubhouse in Arizona Wednesday
yeah, I
afternoon.
mean, it's just it's as I wrote earlier this week at BaltimorePositive.com, certainly for the fan base, this fan base is sporting was already sporting a hangover of what happened the second half of last year. What happened in the wild card series, what happened over the course of the offseason, that even at best, even if you were okay with their offseason, and I never said their offseason was lousy, but it was underwhelming. I don't think you're talking out of Turner being a hater when you see how it played out. Even if, by the way, I think they made a perfectly reasonable, fair, competitive offer for Corbin Burnes, and he told you exactly how he felt. He didn't really want to play in Baltimore unless the Orioles gave him stupid, ridiculous money. So I respect, I'm okay with them not doing that, but you still didn't get the player, and you still have to deal with missing the player as a raw result. So the last thing this club needed, and how much it's affecting the players to a man, it's kind of difficult to say right now. You hope not too much. I mean, these guys. You know, this isn't their first rodeo going, knowing what's a long season, but it's just a lot. You know, I mean, I can think, I still think back to being at Costas with you back in June when the Orioles finished off that winning two out of three from the Yankees, completely embarrassed them in that last game. And that ended up being the high water mark of their season. And that was a long time ago at this point. You know, that we're talking, you know, we're pushing 10 months ago at this point in time. So, you know, that's a long time to not have a whole lot to feel great about, other than what you've been told to feel great about as far as the young core. And yes, I'm as guilty as anyone in terms of talking about that. But that's also why I'm as hard as I've been talking about their offense and their position group at this point, because they're not playing up to a standard that they need them to if this team's going to have any real hope of, you know, contending and being in the mix, and then hoping that, you know, your starting pitching gets healthier as the year goes on, which absolutely can happen. But man, you know, you don't have a Mike Mussina in his prime walking through that door right now. You know, you don't, you know, Jim Palmer and Ben McDonald are up in the broadcast booth. So they've got to figure it out. But that's why I said, you know, their offense needs to do the heavy lifting, and not even coming close to doing that right now. So that's why I am going to be harder on that group. And, you know, this again, this goes back to what Mike Elias and Sig Meidel's philosophy was from the moment they arrived. They told you over and over those first few drafts, college hitters, 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 hitters. And, you know, to their credit, they developed it to the point where the Orioles made back-to-back postseason appearances for the first time since 96 and 97. I fully recognize that. You know, first time they won 100 games since 1980 when they did that 2 years ago. But you
They haven't
can't
won a
rest.
playoff game in a decade.
You can't rest on your laurels, right? When you do that, it's what's next. In the same way that the Ravens have dealt with that, not struggling in the regular season, you know, like what we're seeing with the Orioles in this small sample, but in terms of, you know, at some point in time, people want more, people expect more. And this fan base, you know, putting aside the 30 years prior to that, but what this fan base went through in the early years of the Mike Elias era, with how much they lost, and knowing, you know, being told, be patient, be patient, be patient. It's challenging when you're talking about the second half that they had last year and now getting off to this rough start, to continue to be patient without frustration. And to your point, what potential harm that could do to the brand, and in terms of, not that I expect people to stop going right now. I mean, that again, that would be hasty to give up already. We're not far from that. At the same time, you need to start seeing some more positive signs here much sooner rather than later. So, you know, you hope it begins with Toronto coming into town, and, you know, Cleveland and Cincinnati off that after that. I mean, they've got a nice long homestand here that's going to take them into the last week of April. And you're hoping at the end of this 9-game homestand that, let's just say, doing better than 5-8. You know, I think that's stating the obvious right now.
All right, he's Luke Jones. He's Baltimore Luke. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it first on the WNST text service, as always. And you can join that right now by just texting 410-821-9678. Just text the word join or WNST, and you will be signed up for the WNST text service. All of it brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill Cole and I convened. He will be joining me at Cooper's Pub in 2 weeks. We're going to be at Costas on Friday in the afternoon. My old pal. He was my shooting guard, my power forward, my small forward. He was everything but my center. Beano Ranson is going to be coming over on Friday. The one kid I coached to semi-greatness. I'll let him tell you the story on Friday. We'll be at Costas honoring the life of Mr. Costas. Next week, we will be at Beaumont on Wednesday. Thursday, we will follow up the following week with a big show. Excuse me, Thursday of next week. Wednesday of the following week on the 23rd, we'll be at Cooper's Pub in Timonium. And then the 30th at Coco's Pub in Laurieville. I'm getting all my crab cakes confused because it's April and the Orioles aren't winning and the Ravens aren't doing anything. There is a Liars luncheon next week that Luke will be attending. My big thanks to the Maryland Lottery for putting me out on the road with the Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs. I'm going to have the Back to the Future scratch-offs beginning next week as well. Lots and lots of good stuff up at Baltimore Positive. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation we had with Mark Viviano last week at Fadley's. Lots of other stuff going on this week as we get our way over to Costas. And try to find a baseball season somewhere in here with a little bit of momentum. Need a little bit of momentum. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.